So today, I wanted to open up with this verse up here. The wise listen and add to their learning. It's simple. It's right to the point. It's a great principle I think we can all relate to. The wise listen and add to their learning. Now, when was the last time that somebody told you something, you didn't listen to them, and you found yourself in a worse position than you were before? When was the last time you were, whether it's given directions, you thought you'd follow your own direction and you're going, you think you're in the right place, but then you find yourself lost, or you're given advice and how to deal with a specific conflict of any kind, and you're told how to deal with that conflict and you don't listen, you disregard it, but you kind of do your own thing and you find yourself in a worse off position. When was the last time you were in that situation and you thought to yourself, I really should have listened to my wife? Or ladies, for you, it's, dang it, he was right. The wise listen and add to their learning. I just love this. It's a principle that we can come in line with or we can fight against. The wise listen to instruction. It's more than just knowledge and retaining information, but it's about doing. It's about following through, listening to instruction and moving forward and beginning to develop in your learning, to develop in your understanding, and to really truly gain a better idea of what the growth in your learning looks like. And this happens in all areas of our life. When we're children, we don't start off just knowing everything, but we eventually have to listen to instruction, because I know that, now I'm not a parent, but I do know that when you tell a child something, then they listen right away and they don't abuse what they did, right? No? Do I have a lot to learn? But as children, we're told something, and it's a process, a learning process. You go on in life. Now, I'm not a parent, but I am a dog owner. And we have a little puppy here. I know, she's a cutie. Our little baby girl, Shelby, she's about 14 weeks, 15 weeks or so, somewhere around there. Well, we've got her on this box here. It's called a climb. What we do, it's sitting next to our door. We teach her to climb up there, so as we have people come into the house, if we have people deliver anything, then she can climb up there and she doesn't get off. She greets the people at the door. It's great, instead of nipping at their toes and jumping on them, which I know we're kind of familiar with pets. By teaching her this, she didn't first learn this through nothing. We had to teach her through a process, and now she can enjoy her time up there. She doesn't have to get in trouble all the time. But we taught her to do this because we wanted her to grow into the role that we see in her, the potential that we see her gaining. We do this in all areas of our life, in our work, in our marriages. We have to work at our marriages. We've got to truly understand how each other works in a marriage, in a relationship, a friendship, but we learn about each other, and slowly we develop into understanding one another. And we do this at our work, whether you're in an entry level, a supervisor position, a management position. At one point in time, you were sitting there and you knew nothing about the job, but you listen to instruction and you begin to develop into that work, and you develop into a supervisor role or a management role, or maybe someday owning a business and owning a company. But you did not start off knowing that. You fell in line with this principle. The wise listen and they add to their learning. And so you listened and you began to grow into your learning. And we see this in people. We understand it in your children. You look at what they have potential to be, who God has designed them to be. You see great potential for them. But you know that they have to take the steps forward in order to grow into the role, into the design that they were created to do. Now, here's the bad news. As Christians, we love our bubble, okay? We love our bubble, to stay in our bubble, because as Christians, we were given an instruction from Jesus in Matthew 28 to go and... That's right, to go and make disciples. We have to go and make disciples. The instruction that we were given as disciples is to go. So in order to truly develop into where God wants us to be, what we don't even see in our lives right now, but in order to grow in our spiritual gifting, to grow in our potential, to grow in our work, in our ministry, to truly grow, we have to go. So it's imperative that we go to grow. And this is exactly what we're going to be talking about in the next 5 weeks. We're kicking off a sermon series this weekend. We're going to take a look into the lives of people in the Bible who we see this through. We see this growth, this area of growing in spiritual gifting, growing in faith, growing in the understanding of what we are called to do in the name of Jesus, grown into the grace, the hope, and all of it. But first, we have to go, and we've got to catch on to this vision as disciples. So I want you to follow along with me, and we're going to take a look at one man, Stephen, a man who was a regular disciple in worship, just like we are today. And go ahead and open up your Bibles to Acts chapter 6. If we do have pew Bibles in there, you can take a look at it. It's right after Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Romans, and then just about the last three-fourths of the Bible, if you're unfamiliar with that. If you've been following along with Nathan and Chris, then you're probably already there. But I just want to preface this, kind of recap what we've been kind of going through, understanding that at this time, the disciples are growing, and they're multiplying. They're coming together. They're coming to know Jesus, and they are coming together. It says in Acts 2:42, they met daily, and they listened to the apostles' teaching. They were in fellowship, in prayer, in the breaking of bread, and they came and they multiplied. Peter gave a sermon to which thousands of disciples were baptized into the name of Jesus, and they went home and baptized their families. And so this is exactly where we're at, and we're going to follow along. Verse 1. In those days when the number of disciples was increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. Now you're the disciples, you have all these people together, you've got thousands of people gathering, disciples making disciples, you have days on events of people gathering together, selling their possessions so that the possessions they don't need, so that the people who do need them can have them. And so you're put together in this situation. Now, if you're anything like me and you're going to an event where there are thousands or even hundreds of people and you're there for the day, there had better be food there, right? So, of course this would come up. And they're talking amongst each other and they're learning about who Jesus is. They're starting to gain an understanding that Jesus loved sinners, all of us. He loved the poor. He had a heart for the orphans and a heart for the widows. And so this situation is brought out because they're saying, we're learning about Jesus, and we need to watch over the widows. And so it goes on. So the 12, the disciples, gathered all the disciples together and said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. So in other words, it wouldn't be right for us to do this job, to do this job, this job, while we're over here doing this, because this is the design in which God has brought us into in our growth, in our experience, and what we do in ministry. We need to hand this off. We will turn this responsibility over to them, and we will give our attention to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. This proposal pleased the whole group. And I love this. I see this as a turning point. The church is finally, they get a responsibility. The body of Christ are electing leadership into positions. They chose Stephen, there's our guy, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. Also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, and I probably butchered half those names. They presented these men to the apostles and then prayed and laid their hands on them. They gave them responsibility so that the kingdom could grow. They put them in a position, these disciples, into a position so that they could grow in their position, but ultimately the kingdom would grow. And we see this happening, and it's such an entry-level position to serve tables. Now, we think about ministry work, as being the pastor on staff for a church, which is great and it's needed, but they were on the front line of ministry, going into the work and serving in that area as disciples and teaching. And they, and I love this because all the disciples are together and they say, choose the ones that you know are filled with the Holy Spirit, the ones that you know are filled with wisdom. Well, they were all gaining wisdom at this time. They were all gaining a better understanding and use of the Holy Spirit, but they wanted the ones who are known. And how did they know? Because these disciples took steps forward. They broke out of their bubble. They were talking about Jesus. They were sharing the hope that's found in Jesus, what Jesus did for us on the cross. They weren't ashamed to leave that message alone. And they moved forward, and they were known to be filled with wisdom through that. Verse 7. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, like it hasn't already. And a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. Now, I want you to really look at that part. When we talk about big potential and what God has in store for the kingdom, the priests are ones who up until this point have been plotting against Christians because Christianity was radical. People were coming in thousands to know Christ and being baptized. And so the priests in the Sanhedrin, they were trying to keep and contain Christianity. But not even them could hold this message down. Even the priests came to truly know Jesus, a task that they wouldn't even see coming up in the future. And the story doesn't end there. 8, now Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, a man that was once a table server, went on and performed great wonders and signs among the people. Verse 9, leaders began to argue with him. 10, but they could not stand up against wisdom the Spirit gave him as he spoke. Stephen grew, coming from a man, a disciple just like us, coming to worship daily in fellowship, worshiping God. He moved into a role because he was outspoken. He shared that gift. He shared the hope of God in his realm of influence, in his friendships, his family that was there. And he was seen as a leader. He was seen as a man who truly knew the love of Christ, who truly knew Jesus. And he taught about that, and he was put into a role to serve tables. And while he was serving tables in that role, he went on and continued to make disciples. And he went on into a role of preaching to the Sanhedrin. Now, I encourage you, we're not going to go through that story for time's sake, but chapter 7, read it. He was so bold, he gained a boldness. He grew in being courageous. And he got in front of the Sanhedrin, a group that could stone you and make that call. And he preached a message out of boldness for Jesus. I mean, what a beautiful story. What a great story of a man and an example of what God has called us to be. So when we think about us in our comfortable bubble, we go out into our workplace, into our friendships, into the people we know, if you have after school activities, or the parents you know, the students you work with, whatever your situation is, we go out into our bubble. And sometimes we don't want to offend anybody. We don't want to make anybody feel uncomfortable. But the call is to just go forward and to begin adding in our learning and our understanding of what God has in store for us. We're going to begin to grow. And we're going to see the growth in ourselves, in our spiritual gifting, what God has in store for us, something that we can't even see right now, the way that He has designed us to be. We need to go out into our community, into our work, into our friendships, and start inviting people into our lives, into our stories, because we all know those people who whatever time in their life they are, maybe they're young adults and they have kids, they have the house, they have the job, and life is great, but what's next? Is there anything more to offer? And when that happens, the world begins to influence into them. But as we start to step out of our bubble, as we start to get into the call and the command, the instruction to go, then we're going to see some amazing things with the people around us, the people we know. And so you might be saying, well, this is great. It's a great example. They were bold Christians, bold disciples back then, but I've been in this bubble for a long time. I've done it for 10, 15 years, 20 years. If I start to speak out now, people are just going to think I'm weird. They're going to think I'm just this radical Christian. They're going to get uncomfortable and think that I'm just a changed person all of a sudden. Well, here's what I love about this message. In the first principle, we listen to instruction, we add to our learning. It's addition. It's a process. You take one step forward. You begin to invite people in your life, the people that you know. Share with them your story. You share with them segments of your life. When they come to you with issues, with areas in their life of where they have lost hope and they can't find hope anymore, you can share with them how you find hope through Christ and the hope that Jesus gives us and the grace that is given by God. It's in those opportunities that we answer the response to go. Because the only way that we're truly going to grow is if we first go. It's imperative. When we think about this message moving forward, I think about us, the church, the impact that we have here in Altoona, in Ankeny, in Pleasant Hill, in the greater Des Moines area, the potential that we have to reach out and make disciples, to step forward, to build in relationships with those who don't know Jesus. And that is our call. It's our command. It's our instruction. And it's not until then that we listen to that instruction, move forward, go, and we could be a church, a body of Christ here to go out and spread the word of Jesus, to go to all nations, go to all workplaces, all friendships, all realms of influence, wherever your situation is, that is the front line of ministry. And that's the area that we need to be in to truly grow in ourselves, in our relationship with God, and to go and make disciples. And we want to be a church that does just that. And so I want to pray for that this morning, if you'll pray with me. Well, Father, Lord, Spirit, we thank you for this time together. This time to come together and listen to your word. And Lord, we want to be more like Stephen, to where we can be here, sit here today, be in worship. We come to worship to worship you, to grow in our relationship with you, but we also want to answer the call to go, to listen to the instruction to go, so that your kingdom can grow, so that we can reach the lives of the people we know, the people we have known, and that we can see tremendous growth in them, and so that they can find hope, and they can find that hope in Jesus. God, we're so blessed to be instruments of yours, that you have created and crafted each one of us in a specific way. And God, we are grateful for that. We know you want to see the potential that you have for us. We want to be in that line of work that you have for us. God, we know we're there right now. We need to go. We need courage. We need boldness. Spirit, bring us boldness. Bring us courage so that we can start to get out of this bubble that's about ourselves and reach the world and reach the people that we know so that we can all find hope and faith in Jesus Christ. And Lord, we lift this to you through his name. Amen.